Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN. This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Here we go. Happy Friday. Spencer on Sports with you here on 1600 ESPN. Hope you're having a fantastic day so far. What a day it's been. It's 72 degrees outside. It's November 14th. What? What is going on here? I don't want to make any grand proclamations. I'm not a meteorologist. But, I feel like this is the last 70 degree day of 2025. I haven't checked the forecast for tomorrow. Maybe I'm wrong, but 72 on November 14th seems pretty darn good. If you're out and about, if you skipped work today, not literally, you took a vacation day, let me know where you're at right now. 319-366-1600. Are you outside enjoying a 72-degree afternoon? I know the sun sets in like less than an hour, so you're probably headed home by now, but maybe you're in the garage. Maybe you got the grill fired up. I don't know what we're doing at home for dinner. I don't think it's grilling, but if it's on the menu tonight, it sounds like a good idea. But pretty nice day for a Friday afternoon. We got plenty to talk about over the next 2 hours. It is a football Friday here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Going to get to our Continental Kickoff Show coming up just in moments here. Plenty of Hawkeye talk, Hawkeyes and USC on the agenda this weekend. Plenty of other games, too. We spent a lot of the time, of course, we're going to spend a lot of the time talking about the Hawks and the Trojans this week, but we got Northern Iowa and Drake both in action from an in-state perspective. A full slate of Big Ten games, including one tonight. The Oregon Ducks and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Did they row all their way, the entire trip from the Twin Cities to Eugene? That would take a long time. Somebody consult Google. You ever done that where you're on Google Maps and you like accidentally you type in directions from this place to this place and it somehow defaults to the walking? It's like, I'm not going to walk from, you know, Marion to Monticello. I could if I wanted to. It's not going to happen. But I'd get in my car and do that, right? Or even a longer distance. Rowing a canoe from multiple canoes from the Twin Cities to Eugene, Oregon seems like a bad decision. Minnesota flew there. The Ducks waiting for them. We'll get into that. Look at the rest of the college football weekend for the Big Ten, Big 12, and beyond. Talk plenty of Hawkeye football and more throughout the countdown to kickoff show here on 1600 ESPN. Madison Horitzik from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I believe she is in California by now. She said by this time tomorrow, when we recorded yesterday, she would be in California, in L.A., ready to roll. She's covering the game for the Cedar Rapids Gazette out there tomorrow, and tomorrow. I recorded with her yesterday. We were talking about tomorrow, which is today, and she will be out there covering the game. Had a chance to record with her on Thursday, and we'll play back that conversation in the 5 o'clock hour. Great insight. She does a great job for the Gazette and has been a good addition, I think, to the show. And definitely enjoy talking to her every week about Hawkeye football and Big Ten football in general. So you'll hear our conversation coming up at about 5:10 tonight. We'll squeeze in some NFL talk. It's a pretty good weekend in the NFL. There's lots of good games in the NFL this weekend. You got Bears and Vikings this weekend. You got Chiefs and Broncos this weekend. You got a really good Monday night game with the Eagles and the Lions. So I think a pretty solid week. Rams and Seahawks this week, too, which somehow got buried at 3:05. Like, what are we doing? Burying that game at 3:05, but a good NFL weekend. We'll preview that. We got Who Said It, brought to you by Good Guys Auto Parts in Iowa City, coming up at about 5:30 tonight here on the show. And then we'll try to get some basketball talk in. I hate to ignore what the Iowa women did last night. Second straight game with 100 points, hitting the century mark. A lot more lopsided than maybe I expected. I think Drake's a good basketball team. Obviously quite young. We talked about that on the show yesterday when the coach, Kevin Lehman, joined me for our Off the Glass segment at 4:30. But 100 points, 25-0 run for the Hawkeyes in that one. That was impressive stuff. Still plenty to work on, and they got to go to Cedar Falls this weekend, so it doesn't really get any easier, but should be a what was a very good game last night. Hawkeye men, Ben McCollum, game three of his tenure in Iowa City is tonight. And Richard Pitino and Xavier is in town for the game tonight at 7 o'clock. So that should be an interesting test. It's kind of a step up in competition from FDU and Western Illinois, or Robert Morris and Western Illinois. I got Iowa State and Iowa's opponents mixed up. But step up in competition. Xavier's not a great team, but it's a better team than you've played. And we'll hear some thoughts from Ben McCollum before the end of the program today. We got NBA tonight. We got hockey. We've got some college football, like I mentioned. We got high school football. State semifinals continuing on. We'll keep you up to date on that throughout the show, too. So lots to talk about and get to here between now and 6 o'clock. Isaac's here. You've got your Iowa shirt on. Are you going to the game tonight?
Yes, I am.
Were you at the game last night?
Yes, I was.
Oh, you got season tickets, so of course you were.
Yeah, I got season tickets to both. Yeah, excited to be back. It was a fun game last night, like you said. One more thing going on in Iowa City today, too. Well, women's soccer.
Oh,
we
that's
got
right.
Women's soccer, first round of the NCAA tournament against, is it South Dakota? Or is it South Dakota State? Okay,
yep.
I couldn't remember if it was just South Dakota or South Dakota State. But, yeah, first round going on in Iowa City, and that's in about an hour, I guess 50 minutes
okay.
right now.
Okay, great. So, hey, busy, busy weekend. National Duels, is that this week?
National Duels, too, yeah. That did start. I forgot about that, yeah.
Goodness. We need, like, a five-hour show. We can't do a five-hour show, but we need a five-hour show to squeeze everything in. If we truly wanted to get to everything, we cannot. We are human. We are limited to the time constraints we have. But, my goodness, we have a lot of things happening to discuss. So let's get going. Enough wasting time. It is the countdown to kickoff. It's a football Friday. That's where we're going to start. And we get going right now here on 1600 ESPN.
College football, baby!
There's a lot of things that can happen in the next 3 weeks. Obviously, we need a lot of help from other people. But, you know, I think we have a great leaders in this locker room. I mean, especially, with me and Logan Jones on the offense, being able to motivate the guys in the huddle, getting everyone in and out of the huddle, getting some tempo going, energy at practice. I mean, we still have a lot to play for. There's still three games the rest of the season. No matter if it's just if it's a bowl game at the end, or if we get lucky and end up making the CFP, you know, we got to always be ready and we always got to improve. And as us, as like seniors as well, we got to continue to help the younger guys improve too when they're in there, and kind of almost leave our legacy for the following years past that we're here.
It's Saturday. There's like 700 college games on.
Very versatile. You know, they can run the ball, throw the ball. We're just going to have to do a good job of, one, limiting explosive, and really contending our QB first, because, you know, he makes a lot of plays, especially when he scrambles off the pocket. He lets his receivers make a play for them. So just getting hands on receivers and sticking with them and really not letting them take the big shots that they want to do.
Who wants to talk football?
If you want to talk football, this is the place to be. It's Spencer on Sports, and it is the Football Friday Countdown to Kickoff show here on 1600 ESPN. If you want to join in on the conversation, phone line's open, text line open as well, 319-366-1600. Again, that's 319-366-1600. Appreciate all of you who've texted in already, and plenty of room for you to join the conversation here today as we're with you till 6 here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. It's Iowa. It's USC. We've covered, I think, all kind of the peripheral headlines throughout the week about, you know, Iowa and their close losses to ranked teams, still not having a win over a ranked team since 2021. So we don't need to reemphasize everything we've talked about. So now it's just kind of putting the icing on the cake, finishing up our discussion and looking ahead and trying to figure out, in our best educated, hopefully educated guesses, what's going to happen tomorrow afternoon inside the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. Weather still does not look good. I don't have it up in front of me, but last I saw yesterday was a 90% chance of rain. So, again, if you were hoping for a sunny California weather, that's not going to be the case. It's the second week in a row that the elements will probably play a factor in the game. But if you're Iowa, you can't worry about that. Can't worry about, you know, the time difference, a different opponent, all the different things. We heard Bo Stevens talk about that earlier in the week. They're on their way there. It's time to play football, and the game will be probably about halftime, right? In about 24 hours from now. We'll know how they're doing and see it play out right in front of us. But if you are making a pick, if you are talking, you know, with your buddies at, you know, your home gate, or you're going out to your favorite local establishment tonight after work and you're talking about the game, what needs to happen for Iowa to get a victory tomorrow, to finally break that streak? that that's been kind of plaguing them against ranked teams, right? 12 straight losses, a 13th tomorrow if they don't get to get a win over USC tomorrow in the Coliseum. What needs to happen tomorrow? Is it simple or is it more complex? Is it they need to score more points than the other team? If you say that, gold star, because that's correct. They do need to score more points than USC to win the game. That's how football works. Don't need to overanalyze that. That's the truth. Don't fact check me on that. I don't need the fact checkers for the debate to come in and like, oh, actually, sir, that's no. Score more points than USC, you win the game. They don't score, you score, you're going to win the football game. We don't need to go over that. But what's it come down to? 319-366-1600. This is a very interesting game because these two teams feel pretty even, right? Record-wise, USC is a game better, right? 6-3 for Iowa, 7-2 for the Trojans. Conference-wise, 5-1 for USC, 4-2 for Iowa. So they are a game better in the standings. Still plenty to play for, as we've talked about, and we'll touch on again with Madison Hritsik from the Gazette coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But when you look at how Iowa matches up with USC, when you look at what the Hawkeyes have done well so far this season, what they still need to work on so far this season, what does it boil down to? 319-366-1600 is we get set for Iowa and USC here on the Countdown to Kickoff show here on 1600 ESPN. One thing I want to, still fighting the frog that's been permanently lodged in my throat for the last couple of days. So pardon me if I clear the throat live on the air here. That's not meant to gross you out, but it's just part of how I get through the next hour and 45 minutes here until 6 o'clock. One thing I want to start with and kind of start the discussion with, and I'll give the tip of the cap to Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register. I read a lot for this job. You don't have to read a lot for this job. You can just walk in, turn on the mic, and say whatever you want, and maybe people will like you, maybe people will not like you, but I like to be educated. I like to find out things. I like to read people's opinions and read stats and info and figures and stuff and kind of formulate how I want to talk about things on the show, but also educate myself about matchups and history and stuff like that. So I was reading Chad's one of Chad's pieces at HawkCentral.com, and one thing that I believe we touched on earlier in the week, I'm not entirely sure. It's been a long week. I could probably go back and listen, but I know we probably touched on it, not necessarily just this week, but in weeks games past where Iowa's coming off a loss, especially in recent years. How has Iowa responded? And we saw that earlier this year. Now, granted, there was a bye week in between the loss to Indiana and then a 37-0 win over Wisconsin on the road, which started that three-game win streak of games against Wisconsin, Penn State, and Minnesota. But how does Iowa respond? I think that's the first kind of question. And it's one of the questions that we talked about on Tuesday when all was said and done. How will Iowa bounce back? And Chad Lystico from the Register talked about that in his column today, his prediction piece at HawkCentral.com. How will Iowa bounce back? History shows, and this is all Chad, so tip of the cap to him, but I thought this was too interesting not to share. History shows the answer to the question, according to Chad's research, will be that the Hawks might actually be just fine. Now, we don't know that, right? This is a different animal here because this is a ranked team, and for whatever reason, against ranked teams over the last, four seasons now, five seasons, 2021 to the present, except for that Penn State game, from that Penn State game on forward. They play a ranked team, something goes wrong. But in most cases, after a loss in the last few seasons, we've seen Iowa bounce back and bounce back pretty well. In Chad's piece today, he points out the last 10 times that Iowa lost a regular season game, they bounced back with a victory in their next contest. Does that guarantee it happens tomorrow? No. But 10-0
in the regular season. Now, there were back-to-back losses, and he points this out in the piece, back-to-back losses to end the, what was it, 2023 season, correct? The loss in the Big Ten title game to Michigan, losing 26-0, losing 35-0 in the bowl game to Tennessee. That was after the change was made, the forced change was made at offensive coordinator. Brian Ferentz was a lame duck. They were searching for the new offensive coordinator, so on and so forth, right? But when you look at the examples, there's been a loss, and then there's been a win the last 10 times. 10-0 string, according to that research done by Chad at the Des Moines Register. Started with a 54-10 loss to Ohio State back in 2022. The next week, Iowa beat Northwestern. After they lost at Ohio State last year, Iowa returned home to beat Washington 40-16. After losing at Michigan State, which now the game didn't exist. It didn't count as a win, doesn't count as a loss. It didn't exist because of the vacated wins we talked about earlier in the week because of the recruiting violations, thanks to everybody's good pal, Mel Tucker. But lose at Michigan State, come back to beat Northwestern. Lose to Indiana at home, get a bye week, come back and beat Wisconsin. So there is a pattern there of wins after losses. There is, I think, a caveat to kind of the data point when you look at kind of who Iowa has played after a loss to a team, a regular season loss, right, in this race. It hasn't necessarily been a world beater. It has not been another ranked team. So this is kind of a unique scenario, and this is kind of the true test of this. But I think it points out, just in an overarching, can we paint with broad brushstrokes for just a teensy-weensy bit, that Kirk Ferentz always gets the most out of his players and always has kind of that knack for motivating his team after a loss. And we heard that this week. Right, we heard that from Mark Gronowski, we heard that from Bo Stevens, we heard that from all the different players that we heard from. They trust in the message that they're getting from the head coach. Now it's up to them to go out and win the game. So it's a very interesting stat to look at. Regular season loss, last 10 opportunities, it's been followed by a win. The problem I see, and I'm not disputing, I'm not calling out Chad, I'm not starting beef with another media member, that's not who I am. Chad's a good guy. He's been on the show before. I want to keep that tie there in case I need to call on him for something, right? But the kind of thing that makes me pause, right, and I think it's an impressive stat, don't get me wrong, the thing that makes me pause is get beaten badly at a really good Ohio State team with C.J. Stroud and, Marvin Harrison Jr. is on that team. Like, really, really good football team. Beating Northwestern the next week, one of the worst Northwestern teams of recent memory, by 20 points. That was, yes, it's a win. It's a good bounce back. Don't get me wrong. It was still Northwestern. Washington, new to the Big Ten, making that flight, that was an 11 a.m. game, if I remember right, last year. I'm not trying to say the data's wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But the competition has not been on the same level as what Iowa's going to see this week. So this is where the theory is tested. This is where how much the motivational tactics of Kirk Ferentz, coaching staff, are really taken to heart and really make an impact and rally the troops, if you will, to go out and play a tough team on the road. And I'm curious to see, as we kind of look at all different angles of those numbers, right? The 10-0 number, winning the last 10 games, regular season games after a loss. I'm curious to see if that continues here this week. And what is it going to take for it to continue? I think that's kind of how we tie it back into the first question I asked. 319-366-1600. It's an impressive streak, right, Isaac? I mean, 10-0 after a loss. I mean, that's it's not just, you know, oh, well, they went 2-8 or something like that, or oh, they've only won they've won their last three after a loss. That's 10 games. That's impressive stuff. And it kind of shows that the right buttons are being pushed in a good way, but that the message of kind of resiliency and bouncing back is hitting home to me. And yeah, the opponents that they're playing after, you know, the losses to Ohio State, to you know, Michigan State wasn't a great team last year, so maybe that kind of disputes my dispute. But it shows kind of that the right buttons are pushed, like I said, and that the players are buying into the message, and that they have kind of that, as a whole, that collective kind of resilient mindset to kind of pull themselves back up off the mat and score a big win. I'm just curious to see if the West Coast road woes rear their ugly head again tomorrow afternoon in Los Angeles. So it's not a perfect science, but it does kind of show you how good this team has been under Kirk Ferentz, I think, to bounce back and, you know, get a win when they need one. Doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to pick Iowa to win tomorrow's game, because there is a history of the West Coast, right, of how they've played on the West Coast in the Pacific time zone. But I think it does, if you're an Iowa fan, it does give you a little bit of hope, right, that this team has shown that they can bounce back after a tough loss. How do you see that? How do you view that number? 10-0 after a loss. Yeah. That's impressive stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good number. Certainly, you want and to win more than you lose, especially, and you want to have that bounce back ability. And so, I think it's never really necessarily been, the question hasn't been like, are they able to refocus after losses? It's more, are they able to readjust? And it seems like they have been able to readjust. And I think with the Oregon game specifically, I think they'll feels maybe slightly more prepared when you consider like the weather conditions, because they just played a game in the rain,
mm-hmm.
and kind of might be slightly more used to that than USC at this point. And not that, again, we're going through the weather stuff, like both teams have to play in the weather.
Right.
But I mean, Iowa just,
there's not a dome over one team, right?
Yeah. But Iowa just played a slog, so maybe they're a little bit more used to it. Maybe they're a little slightly more ready for it, even though they're going to be on grass rather than turf. So it's a little bit different, but still. Conditions are similar, so that'll be, I think that's maybe slight advantage just because they might be more used to it. But again, I think it shows that they've been able to readjust and sort of recalculate, or not necessarily fully fix things that go wrong in losses, mm-hmm. but make those weaknesses not as damning, I guess, would be the best way I can put it. So I'm interested to see if they're able to do that, specifically in the run game, because they obviously got gashed by Oregon's mm-hmm. run offense. And I'm interested to see how they match up defensively against USC's run offense.
Yeah, Ed in Iowa City agrees with you on the text line, 319-366-1600. Stop the run, he says. Yes, King Miller is really good, and he's their third running back. He's a freshman. If I had the Gus Johnson soundboard, I would just play, freshman, freshman. You ever play with the Gus Johnson soundboard? We were obsessed with that in college. I know there's a lot of people who don't love Gus Johnson, but we just played random clips, including freshman. Just him. I can't do my Gus Johnson voice when my voice is bad. But I digress. Stopping the run is key, and limiting big plays both in the run and in the pass is going to be absolutely huge in this. And again, you look at the lineup of players they have. And I've talked about Makai Lemon so many times, but Jaden Maiava is playing really well. King Miller, the running back, they've got a boatload of weapons, and it's no surprise that they're good on offense, because that's what Lincoln Riley does. Look at how many Heisman Trophy winners did he coach? Baker, Kyler, Caleb Williams. The guy knows how to develop quarterbacks, right? He knows how to coach offense, right? That's never been the problem with him. It's been the defensive side of the football, and that's steadily getting better at USC. So this isn't, to go back to the article I was referencing from HawkCentral.com, it's not, It shows the mental toughness. I see a few in the text line, 5122. It mental toughness is only one part of this for Iowa, right? There's the mental side of it, but then there is the actual go out and play the football game, and how does Iowa match up with their skill players? And it's going to take a great effort from the defense to shut down, I think, this offense. And maybe I'm overselling USC, but I look at them, how they're able to score points, right? This season, if you're Iowa, I know Big Ten Ted said this yesterday. It's one of those things I'm not sure Iowa wants a shootout, because Iowa's a ball. It's the same kind of story. If you're Iowa, like a shootout, they've proven they can win a shootout in that Rutgers game, but Rutgers, I think, they also shot themselves in the foot in that second half. But that first half against Rutgers, man, like, you really got to keep up. If it gets that type of scenario, and man, if this is USC just going down the field, whipping it up to Mekhi Lemon or, you know, whoever it might be, King Miller's getting 5-6 yards a carry. The defense is not on point. The defense didn't make the trip, right? They're physically in L.A. They're mentally in Iowa City. That's a recipe for a bad afternoon. So the mental part of it, absolutely a big part of it. The ability to bounce back, the ability to motivate, to, you know, do all the things you have to do to get ready to play a game and move past not a terrible loss in like the man. You know, terrible loss is Washington losing to Wisconsin last week. This was a soul-crushing loss. I call it a soul-crushing loss. Maybe it wasn't soul-crushing to some of you. That feels pretty extreme when I say those words out loud, but it was a gut punch of a loss. How do you move past that, and what do you have to do schematically, skill-wise, to match up? That's the whole kind of puzzle that's been painted here, the picture that's been painted here this week. 319-366-1600, taking your thoughts, your predictions, your keys to the game, your score predictions for Iowa-USC, and we'll get to the rest of the Big Ten and Big 12 slate here in the next half hour on 1600 ESPN. Quick timeout, come back, and continue the countdown to kickoff here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Stay tuned.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Cloud cover will be moving into the area throughout this evening and continue into tonight. Temperatures will fall back into the middle 50s. A few clouds will linger into the morning on Saturday. Otherwise, skies will be mostly sunny. High temperatures will reach around the middle 60s. Clear skies are expected throughout our Saturday night as temperatures fall back into the lower 30s. More sunshine is expected on Sunday, but temperatures will be quite a bit cooler. We'll see highs only reach the upper 40s. And that was a check for Weather First Forecast. I'm meteorologist Kason Frericks.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Digital.
Such a big word. You know your business needs a digital strategy, but the choices feel overwhelming. So talk to the local helpful people here at KZIA's CI Digital Group, and instead of
digital,
it will sound like
digital. I can help.
Visit CIDigitalGroup.com, click Learn More, and discover all the ways KZIA's local CI Digital Group will help you be even better in 2026. CIDigitalGroup.com.
I serve for the police I call home.
I serve to protect those around me.
I serve as an intelligence analyst.
I serve as a maintainer.
Because I like fixing things.
I serve because my dad did, and because his dad did too.
I serve to learn things I'd never learned in school.
I serve as an airman in the Air National Guard.
Join today at goang.com or call 515-261-8541.
Paid for by the Iowa Air National Guard in cooperation with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
I definitely see, the first practice, we just got back at it. You know, we know what we're capable of and just what we can do. So, we, you know, it's a loss, obviously. You know, we soak it in, but we just got to come back the next day and compete again.
That's Kamari Moulton, Iowa running back, earlier this week in Iowa City, talking about the attitude at the first practice after the Oregon loss. Common thread that we heard all this week was things are good. Things were good in practice. Are they going to be on the field tomorrow afternoon in L.A.? 319-366-1600. If you want to chime in on the talk line, text line open as well. Happy to take your thoughts on Iowa, USC, the other big games from the weekend. If you're not watching the Hawks tomorrow, if you're not a Hawkeye fan, you're welcome here too, by the way. All are welcome at the sports table. Here on Spencer on Sports. What game are you interested in? Aside from Iowa, USC, games are you watching this weekend? Quad box, that's a touchy subject. The quad box. Is that ever going to get done? Man, if you have YouTube TV, are you just like done? Are you buying like going back to cable? Nothing against cable. I'm just saying, like, are you like switching, getting the over-the-air antenna? I had to use that. I was without internet service for over a week at the new house. So we bought an over-the-air antenna like 4 years ago when we moved here. And it came in handy. I was able to watch Iowa, Minnesota. Was able to watch some other things. Couldn't watch the Packers-Steelers game. I just like rigged that up some other way with the phone hotspot. But I said the word quad box, and I feel bad for those who aren't able to use the quad box for anything because you don't have the ESPN and ABC networks. I hope that gets resolved. That's just, the greed, money-hungry stuff, just enough. Seriously, come on. Need to watch sports with the platform you're paying for. I don't know, this $20 credit or whatever I keep seeing about. 319-366-1600. 2468 does say on the text line the loss for Iowa to Oregon was a soul-crushing loss to their 8-year-old son. I understand completely. We've all been there, and it hits kids the hardest, right? Especially if you're in the stands, right? That's even worse because you're like, man, they're going to win the game. And then they don't win the game. Been there. Been there many, many times for Brewers. Been a while since I've been to a Packers loss, but yeah, it's not fun. Not fun at all, right? 319-366-1600. Let's finish out what we were hearing from Kamari Moulton. And of course, I just misplaced the audio sheet. Today's going great, can't you tell? Kamari Moulton of the Iowa football team talking earlier this week, talking about how the Iowa ground game can get going against USC. There is an opportunity there. USC run defense has not been. They've left some meat on the bone. They've let teams run the football and run it well. You look back to the Nebraska game. Emmett Johnson had a big, big, big game in Lincoln, despite Nebraska losing in that game to the Trojans. Kamari Moulton talking about how they get the run game going. Iowa held to just 101 yards by the Oregon defense last week.
Really just keying in on all the details again and just seeing what we did and what we missed. There's always some plays that we could do better. So just going back and just seeing those plays and seeing how we could make it better, just that's the start.
And Moulton, one more clip from him talking about playing a game in the Pacific time zone and on the road at a team that you have not faced as a Big Ten opponent yet in the USC Trojan?
I really just say, you know, because it's new to the Big Ten, just going out there. It's just really staying focused. That's the main thing, you know, not sightseeing or anything, just knowing you got to go for a business trip. But definitely playing earlier this year definitely helps out. And I feel like it's going to be a good game.
We'll see if it is a good game or not tomorrow here as we watch Iowa take on USC at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. 319-366-1600.
I wonder if TJ Hall got his tickets that he was talking about.
Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday. I played a clip from him. I don't think I played the clip, but he was – I'm glad I'm not in that position.
Yeah.
Right, as a football player. Like, I did not play college football. If I did, it probably would have been a very small school where it's kind of in the state, so it would not have been like a D1 type of situation. So you're, you know, like, how do you get tickets? Like, and TJ Hall's like asking everybody. I'm glad I'm not in that position. And TJ's, he's an upperclassman, right? So he's probably got a little bit more, TJ. A little bit more sway as a senior than a freshman on the depth chart would. But I can't imagine that's a comfortable thing to going up to, say, a freshman on your depth chart, right? And being like, hey, Jalen Watson, you're a sophomore. Give me your tickets because I'm from Fresno. And I'm not making TJ Hall sound like a jerk here. Like, he seems like a good dude. Like, I would feel really uncomfortable being in that position. But you're from Fresno. It's not exactly close to LA, but it's in the same state. And it's the first time that, aside from the UCLA game last year, obviously, but fans get to come down and see you play. And so he's going up to everybody in the locker room. Hey man, you got tickets for me? Can I borrow some tickets? I wonder how that works out. And I hope he gets what he wants.
I know he wasn't the only one asking too, because Mark Gronowski also said he has some family in California who wanted to come out to see him. So it seems like they are in high demand.
The perils of the college student, college football student athlete experience. 319-366-1600. What did Big Ten Ted have to say about the Iowa-USC matchup? Had him on the show yesterday for our weekly chat. If you miss him live on the show, he's on every Thursday at 5:10. Does a great job covering the Big Ten Conference from top to bottom. And had this to say about what he's watching for at Iowa-USC tomorrow.
Can Iowa run the football? Can they run it consistently? USC's been a little bit inconsistent in defending the run. If they can do that, control the line of scrimmage, play some Iowa football on the road out there in Los Angeles, you know, that's the thing about when you have these West Coast teams and then you kind of have these teams in the traditional Big Ten footprint, specifically the Big Ten West teams. Like, the West Coast teams aren't used to maybe this ball control, time of possession really type of offense. So it takes away the amount of possessions just in total that they can have and the ability to kind of put up points. So when they do have the football, they really got to be able to take advantage of it. So, I mean, can Iowa limit the big play down the field? Because this is a game where if USC kind of gets their horses going and they get out in front and they're moving the ball and they're scoring the ball, it's hard to imagine that Iowa on the road is going to be able to keep up with that. Like, if the Trojans get to 30 points, you know, this is not maybe a team that's Iowa I'm talking about that's built to, you know, a 31-30 type of football game. So, of course, the Hawkeyes want to be able to kind of keep that score a little bit lower. But you mentioned Jade Baiava has been playing really, really good football so far this season. I'm really curious to see what the USC run game is going to look like. Iowa gave up 261 yards to Oregon last week. Oregon's one of the best rushing offenses, as we talked about, right now in the country, especially as of late. This is a USC team that ever since their top two running backs, William and Jordan and Eli Sanders, went down, King Miller, the freshman, and he's had some highs and he's kind of had some lows as well. So when USC is balanced, they're really, really good down the field. So for Iowa, it's just all about controlling this game, keeping USC off the field. And then I just got a feeling they're going to have to force some turnovers. They're going to need some special teams voodoo magic to kind of hang around in this one. If this one were at Kinnick, I would probably for how close these teams are and the different style of play, like, home field advantage feels like a big deal to me, especially USC. Lincoln Riley is a coach, and this is a program under Lincoln Riley. They play much better at the Coliseum than they do away from the Coliseum. So I tend to favor USC in this game, but it is when these West Coast teams joined the Big Ten, this was like a matchup that was circled, right? You've got the typical Big Ten Iowa kind of look, and then you've got USC that's kind of high flying, flashy in offense. So I love the contrast of styles in this game, and I think the last thing comes down to which style wins out. Is it going to be USC style or is it going to be Iowa style? Who can make the other team kind of play the way they want to play? And it's going to be so fun to watch.
That's Big Ten Ted, part of our conversation from yesterday here on 1600 ESPN. And he brings up a good point. USC this year 5-0 at home, and both their losses came on the road. Now, wins and losses, you can lose at home, certainly. If you're Iowa, you'd love to be the first loss at home for USC. But that's just how Lincoln Riley's teams are, as Ted brought up, right? Like, they are a better team on their home turf than they are on the road, and we'll see if Iowa can break that streak. We were talking about the defensive line while we were listening to Ted there. I pulled up some of their information here. This is from their win over Northwestern last week, 38-17 at the Coliseum, which got them to 7-2. The Trojans this season, second week in a row, with their win last week over Northwestern, Trojan defense held its opponent to just 3 points in the second half. So if you're Iowa, you want to start fast, right? We've talked so much, especially on offense, like the fast start. That's something that's eluded Iowa on the offensive side of the football, for a few exceptions, obviously. But you'd like to start fast, but you need to keep the foot on the gas. You can't have a game like Minnesota where you get out of the gates and, I get score early and often, right? You get the pick six, and it was the backbreaker. It felt over. Caden Wiegen had the punt return and different things like that. USC's gotten better as games have gone on. And that's certainly something to watch, especially on the defensive side of the football. So second week in a row last week against Northwestern, Trojan defense held its opponent to just 3 points in the second half. So you want to be able to start momentum early and keep it going throughout the game. You can't start strong, finish weak, or starting weak, finishing strong. Hey, that's fine, but you have to hope that the defense is doing its job and not letting USC score at will, essentially, in a game like that. Another piece to the puzzle, too, another little tidbit I thought that was interesting when you talk about the defense and how they've improved for USC this year. They've had four halves this season where they've held an opponent to just 3 points. Now, granted, one of those was against Missouri State, a game they won 73-13. Missouri State, they're bowl eligible. Not going to go to a bowl because they're transitioning from FCS to FBS, but turned out they're a decent team. They're not as good as USC. I'm not trying to say Missouri State is the greatest team in college football right now. They're not. Used to be in the Missouri Valley last year, and now they're in Conference USA, right? Won six games, trying to get to a bowl. Trying to appeal for a bowl, but it doesn't matter. But the point is, USC's defense has actually gotten better, and they're playing some pretty good football, especially in second halves. This year, second half against Missouri State, first half against Purdue, second half at Nebraska, and the second half versus Northwestern, they held an opponent to just 3 points. So that's pretty impressive stuff. And Nebraska, you know what? I understand Dylan Raiola got hurt in that game, but still a competitive game. Emmett Johnson was running the football well in that game. So for Iowa, you got to get momentum going early and sustain that momentum in the game tomorrow. It's one of the biggest keys to it. Stopping the big plays, which style's going to win out. I agree with what Ted said in the clip. We heard it just a few minutes ago. But, man, you got to find a way to play consistent football throughout the game. If you can play every game, if you're Iowa, you could play every game like you did against Minnesota. Hey, that'd be 12-0. No, I'm not. Not guaranteed, but, I mean, sure feels that way because they played really well against Minnesota. Played pretty well against Wisconsin, too. That 37-0 win. Level of competition with those teams. Minnesota's good. Wisconsin's terrible. Not the same as USC, I understand, but shows you what kind of having that balanced out momentum will do. And we'll see if they can do that tomorrow against the Trojans. 319-366-1600. Spencer at Sports Countdown to Kickoff Show. Continuing here on a Friday afternoon, we'll hear from Madison Horitzik from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Talked with her yesterday before she jumped on a flight out to California. And we'll play back that conversation coming up here in about 20 minutes here on 1600 ESPN. When we come back, we'll take a look at the rest of the Big Ten and Big 12 slates and get you set for what else is happening in college football. That's on the way here on 1600 ESPN.
It's almost weird how much you have in common and how hard you make each other laugh. After a lifetime of peopling, this one came along, and that's it. Game over. Now you just have to find the ring and figure out how to ask. The Dickens family can help. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers has been helping proposers choose engagement rings for 70 years. There isn't a thing about diamonds, settings, styles, or metals they can't tell you. And if you think after thousands of happy couples they're so over it, you would be so wrong. At Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, your engagement is as exciting to them as it is to you. Well, okay, almost. It's a great day at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers when they know they've helped someone find the perfect sparkler. And with 7 decades of experience, they've got a heck of a track record with getting a yes. So, if proposing is on your mind, see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and talk to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
The long goodbye begins. A very special evening with Journey. Final Frontier Tour. April 8th, KC Center. Journey. Tickets are on sale now at journeymusic.com. Your chance to say goodbye to the songs that changed our lives. Journey. Final Frontier Tour.
The search for your favorite local restaurant ends at Emil's Hideaway. You're tired of try-too-hard menus and all the hype. So escape to the best comfort food around and an actual good time. Emil's Hideaway, away from the noise on Glenbrook Drive Southeast, off First Ave in CR.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-471-9773. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-471-9773. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-471-9773. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-471-9773. That's 800-471-9773.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600. Spencer at Sports here for a Friday afternoon. Taking your score predictions, keys to the game, and plenty, plenty more for Iowa-USC. And for the rest of the college football weekend, if there's a game you've got your eye on this weekend, or eyes on this weekend, let me know what it is. 319-366-1600. Iowa-USC tomorrow. Just saw a post from Ryan Kartje, who covers USC for the LA Times. Quote from Lincoln Riley about the weather. Weather forecast still calling for a 90% chance of rain. 1 to 2 inches of rain possible throughout the day tomorrow in LA. Lincoln Riley saying today that, quote, unless it's a complete downpour, we feel like we can function very close to normally. They ain't bothered by the rain. Iowa's not bothered by the rain. It's part of the storyline, but how much of a difference will it make? We'll see. But neither coach is all that concerned about it. We'll see what the weather's like tonight in Autzen Stadium for the Oregon Ducks and Minnesota, eighth-ranked Oregon and Minnesota tonight. Ducks are heavy, heavy favorites. They are favored by 25.5 points over Minnesota. You talk about not doing well on the road. Minnesota is not good on the road this season. So the Ducks are heavy favorites. They're down their top two receivers still this week. DeCorian Moore and others are out tonight again, second week in a row. So no top receivers, but if their game plan looks anything like their game plan against the Hawkeyes last week, I think the Ducks will be just fine against P.J. Fleck and the Gophers. But Oregon, big favorite tonight. That's at 8 on Fox. Tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow morning, late morning, early afternoon, you've got Indiana, a 28.5-point favorite over Wisconsin. Michigan and Northwestern playing at Wrigley Field. Normally, I'd say Michigan minus 10.5 against Northwestern, sure. Playing at Wrigley, though, man, you don't know what's going to happen. You're playing in a different type of field. You're playing in a baseball stadium. Probably going to be loaded with Michigan fans because it's a tourist destination type of game. Michigan's probably going to win the game. I'm not saying Northwestern's going to win, but that should be an interesting big noon kickoff game to watch tomorrow as the Wolverines take on the Wildcats. Penn State and Michigan State. Don't know why that's on CBS. Maybe because Iowa was on CBS last week. They wanted to differ it up just a little bit, give somebody else a chance. But 2-3-6 teams going up against each other in East Lansing. Oh, boy. 2:30 on CBS there. Maryland and Illinois, the Illini favored by 15.5. Washington, a heavy favorite over Purdue tomorrow night in Seattle. And then number one, Ohio State, a 31.5-point favorite over UCLA. That's at 6:30 on NBC. My advice is to find a different game to watch because Ohio State will probably be up by 24 at the break. We'll find out, but would imagine Ohio State wins that one soundly. No Iowa State football this week. Cyclones are off, but you do have plenty of Big 12 action. Cincinnati and Arizona tomorrow. Also K-State at Oklahoma State. West Virginia playing at Arizona State tomorrow at noon. Texas Tech and UCF tomorrow afternoon on Fox. And then your night games are Utah and Baylor and BYU and TCU tomorrow night. Top 25 action. You got a game tonight. Louisville, 20th ranked in the country, is taking on the Clemson Tigers. Texas A&M and South Carolina tomorrow morning on ESPN. Good one in Pittsburgh. Notre Dame and Pittsburgh tomorrow at 11 a.m. on ABC. A couple good games in the SEC as well tomorrow with Oklahoma visiting Alabama. That's number 11 versus number 4. That's at 2:30 on ABC. And then you've got Texas and Georgia tomorrow. In fact, we'll have the Texas-Georgia game for you here on our airwaves starting at 6, courtesy of Westwood One Sports. A little Cyclone bye week coverage with Westwood One, but that is a 6:30 kickoff on ABC. So it should be a pretty good weekend of college football. I'm curious with the Big Ten, aside from Iowa-USC, we've had weeks like this before where you're like, man, 31.5, 28.5, like all these sizable point spreads, right, in these games, 10 points or more. Will we see a little bit of chaos this week in the Big Ten? I've seen quite a few people on social media. Maybe it's just a loud minority, but a few people saying the Big Ten messed up its TV deal. All this, oh, there's nothing exciting happening in the Big Ten. Indiana and Ohio State are too good. How can you be too good? Best teams in the country, right? Two of the best teams in the country. I don't think that's too good, but needs to be some excitement, some chaos in the Big Ten. Almost had it last week, Penn State beating Indiana. See if there's some this week with the schedule that's laid out in front of us. 319-366-1600. We'll circle back to Iowa-USC. Going to talk to Madison Horitzik from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. A chance to catch up with her yesterday before she jumped on a plane to go out to cover tomorrow's game for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll have her conversation coming up in just a moment here on 1600 ESPN.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM. This is 1600 ESPN.
This is SportsCenter.
I'm Sean Ryder. The Buccaneers have officially ruled out star running back Bucky Irving with a foot and shoulder injury and wideout Chris Godwin with a leg injury for Sunday's game at Buffalo. Bills will be without tight end Dalton Kincaid, who has a hamstring injury. Big AFC West showdown on Sunday in Denver between the 8-2 division-leading Broncos and the Chiefs. Kansas City enters at 5-4, and Sportsman likes Chris Canty on what he thinks of the Chiefs.
With each loss, that confidence or that benefit of the doubt in the Chiefs starts to go away. Last year, the Chiefs were invincible when it came to winning games, especially closely contested ball games. They were 12-0 in one-score games last year. This year, they're 0-4. So with each one of those losses, a little bit of that inevitability, that invincibility, starts to go away.
And the Chiefs at the Broncos is on ESPN Radio and the app, with coverage starting at 4 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. NHL Devils star Jack Hughes being evaluated for a non-hockey injury to his hand. ESPN's Emily Kaplan reports that Hughes injured his hand at a team dinner.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business's needs, from quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options. Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 8 minutes at progressivecommercial.com.
Radio Iowa. Three fire departments fought a fire last night at an abandoned farmhouse south of Storm Lake. There were no injuries, but the century-old house was destroyed. One person was hurt last night when a camper exploded in Creston. Authorities say they're still investigating, but initial evidence points to a propane leak. A retired University of Iowa researcher who leads a nonprofit group focused on water quality issues is exploring a run for Iowa Secretary of Agriculture. Chris Jones says the ethanol industry produces way too few jobs when compared to the 11,000 square miles of land planted with corn that's used to produce ethanol.
It's less than one job per square mile of the best land on earth. That's ridiculous. We need to think about something different than ethanol. We need to think something different about CAFOs.
He says he'll make up his mind about running for Ag Secretary in January. This is Radio Iowa.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to
first, drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Then he said,
if it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
What you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The NBA on ESPN Radio.
Here's Curry the other way. 3-on-3. Pull-up triple. Good.
Steph Curry and a Golden State Warriors head to San Antonio to face Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs.
Now behind the back, dribble into the lane. Puts it down with a right-hand flush. You don't make that move at 7-4, but Victor Wembanyama does.
Catch the NBA from ESPN Radio tonight at 8 on 1600 ESPN.
Live and local sports talk for your ride home. It's Drive Time with Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600, Spencer on Sports for a Friday. About 60 minutes to go here on this Friday afternoon. Hope you had a fantastic week. Sending off into the weekend in style. We've got one more hour left in our countdown to kickoff show here on 1600 ESPN. We'll catch up with Madison Hritzik from the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up in just a bit. Drive time driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Three locations for your convenience, Iowa City, North Liberty, or Grinnell, and check them out online at LinderTire.com. Madison Hritzik, my conversation with her coming up in just about 5 minutes here on the show. Also get to this week's edition of Who Said It and preview the rest of the weekend in sports, NFL, college hoops, and more. Hawkeye hoops in action this weekend as they take on Xavier tonight. In fact, on the men's side, Iowa women going to UNI after an impressive win over Drake. Got the Iowa State women in action this weekend, too. We'll preview all of that coming up before 6 o'clock here on 1600 ESPN. Before we get into some more Iowa-USC talk, let's hear from, let's get you, I should say, what you missed at work here for a Friday afternoon.
The sports world was just as busy as you were today. Here's what you missed while you were at work.
Have you heard the news?
On 1600 ESPN.
You're going to hear from me on what you missed at work here on 1600 ESPN. High school football state semifinals continuing at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. Congratulations to Xavier, who is going to be playing for a Class 4A state championship next week. Saints rallied to beat Newton last night, 31-24. They'll play Pella, who took care of business against Sergeant Bluff Luton yesterday afternoon. Earlier today in the Class 1A state semifinals, Regina is headed to the state championship game. They beat Grundy Center, ending the 50-game win streak for Grundy Center. That's impressive stuff there. Came to an end of the hands of the Regals. They win 31-12. It'll be Regina against West Lyon for a championship next week. West Lyon a winner over South Hardin, 21-7. Earlier today, just going to the half in the 5A semifinals, West Des Moines Valley leading their arch rival Dowling 7-0. That game at halftime right now. Coming up here tonight, about 7 o'clock, it's Iowa City Liberty, the Lightning, taking on Waukee Northwest. That game starts at 7. Tomorrow, you've got Osage and Van Meter in the 2A semis, Kemper Catholic and Wilton at 1 tomorrow. The Osage-Van Meter game, by the way, at 10 a.m. tomorrow. In the afternoon, you've got Bishop Heelan and Dubuque Wallert at 4 o'clock in the 3A semis. And then good luck to Solon tomorrow as they take on Nevada. That game at 7 tomorrow evening up in Cedar Falls. Speaking of Cedar Falls, the Panthers play this weekend. The UNI Panthers play this weekend, but they ain't at home. They're in Fargo taking on top-ranked North Dakota State. UNI getting the win last week over Murray State, but a game with a lot of penalties. 8 penalties for 85 yards, and Todd Stepsis says those kind of things, foolish penalties and miscues, mistakes, in fact, going to be difficult to overcome when you're playing the top-ranked team in the country.
It's hard to play a perfect game, but you know those things that you can control and how hard you play from snap to whistle and then focusing on us, that's how we're going to have success up there. So just working this week to shore that stuff up to where, if whatever happens in that game, it's not us beating ourselves. It's the other team that just maybe plays better that day.
North Dakota State quarterback Cole Payton has passed for more than 2,100 yards and has rushed for more than 700 on the year. Here's Todd Stepsis talking about slowing him down.
He has a ton of weapons to help him out. Awesome on the offensive line. So, defensively, we're really going to have to come and play and play well. And then defensively, like that's championships teams, they play great defense. They're hard to score on, and they do that. They are solid at all three levels. They don't miss many tackles. They've got great team speed. So it's hard really to get explosive plays. They make you earn it all the way down the field.
That's Northern Iowa head coach Todd Stepsis previewing tomorrow's game, which kicks off at 2:30. On ESPN Plus. One final note to get to here before we wrap up our What You Missed at Work segment. Semifinalists announced today. A couple Iowa State football players named semifinalists for a couple national awards. Ben Bramer named a semifinalist for the John Mackey Award, which is given to college football's best tight end. Iowa State's Tyler Perkins, their punter, has been named a semifinalist for the Ray Guy Award today as well. He's among 10 players selected from a field of 92 nominated candidates. And If you are interested, and I'm sure many of you listening to this program are, the Cy-Hawk wrestling duel between Iowa State and Iowa, November 30th, going to be televised live on ESPN at noon on November 30th. The network announced that earlier today. It's the 89th time in dual action the Hawkeyes and Cyclones will wrestle, and it'll be on ESPN November 30th. So looking forward to taking that in on it's a Sunday, right? Yeah, football Sunday. Well, that's fine. You can, if the quad box exists, you can get that on the screen. But get the second screen. Get Cy-Hawk wrestling up. It's always a fun dual meet, regardless. There you go. A few stories that you may have missed at work from us here at 1600 ESPN.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports on a Friday afternoon. About 20 minutes away from your next keyword in our 15K play of the day sweepstakes, your chance to win $15,000, part of a national contest. We'll give you the final keyword of the week for you to enter at kgymradio.com coming up in about 20 minutes here on the program. Who Said It? Brought to you by Good Guys Auto Parts on the way as well. Before we get to any of that, though, let's check in with Madison Horitzik from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Talked with her yesterday. She's currently in California getting set to cover tomorrow's game for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read her work at thegazette.com. Find her on X at Sporting Mads. Always gracious with her time to come in and join us on Fridays. And just talk to her one day earlier. We'll play back the conversation now here on 1600 ESPN. 1600 ESPN's Spencer on Sports on a Football Friday edition of the show. It's our countdown to kickoff as we look ahead to all the big college and pro football games for the weekend. None bigger in the state of Iowa than the Iowa Hawkeyes heading to USC. I'm looking at the weather forecast. Our guest earlier in the week.